ashamed about, hey, it's a new season. Hey, it's a new year. Hey, it's a new chapter of the book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't want it just to be about the new season. But we want it to be about the content in the new season.
Very good.
Our hearts, our minds, all that we are. And so I'm really excited about what God laid on my heart to speak on today. How many people were here a couple of Wednesdays ago?
Whew. Yeah.
When we had the wonderful, Mark touched on it last week, where Monique had a
prophetic
word about the wine and the demonstration of the wine being poured into the wine glass and it overflowing into the bowl. And actually, that's the same word that the Lord gave me the week prior to that. And so, that's what I'm going to preach on today. A new wine, new wineskins. Preparing the wineskin for the wine. Preparing the wineskin for the wine. And so, a new season, as Mark touched on a couple of weeks ago. Changes, challenges, and then champions.
Yeah.
Changes, challenges, champions. But just before I get into what I'm about to speak on today, I think Mark, on that same Wednesday, Bridget alluded to the fact that that it was going to be 7 years that they were in Canada. And I'm not sure if it was last week or
seven
this
years.
Week or 17th. Oh, so seven. 7 years.
7 years.
That they're here. And while I was preparing, the one thing I noticed too is that it's going to be 7 years that Trish and I will be married this year. The new season.
Woo! Amen, bro.
But I just thought, I didn't even think about it. I was like, wow, 7 years. Man, time has really flown by. But then the other thing that finally struck a chord in me that I didn't even tell anybody. When I mean I didn't tell anybody, I told Trish, of course. But I didn't tell anybody else because I didn't know what to think of it. But for the last 6 months, open up your head, open up your minds, open up your hearts. For the last 6 months, every time I looked at the clock, it said 7:07. Every single time. And I had no idea what it meant, but I knew it meant something. And then once again, it struck a chord within me. Of course, 7, new season. So of course, God was just preparing my heart, saying, my son, it's a new season upon us. And so that's just to confirm everything and everything that we've heard of over the last several weeks. And to be honest, you will keep hearing about it.
Yeah.
Okay? And you know what? The good thing is you won't get sick about it because it's all about God.
Yeah.
And if you do get sick about it, well, we'll just pray for you. So when God declares a new season, He's declaring it's a new opportunity. He's declaring it's a new opportunity. So let's turn in our Bible to Luke chapter 5. I will start at verse 36. Everybody there?
Yep.
Say, uh-huh.
Amen.
I want to have fun this morning, okay? I don't want us to be conservative Christians. Okay. So he told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skin. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, say no one.
No one.
And no one after drinking old wine wants the new. For he says, the old is better. New wine must go into new wineskins. How many agree with that?
No.
Because the Bible says so? Or if we actually do believe it. So let me just give you one thing that I learned about wineskins. And this is just coming from my simple mind. But one thing really interesting about the wineskin is this, is that wineskins were made of whole, tanned goatskins. Goatskins were the legs and the tail cut off and had been sealed. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word nevel meant skin bottle or skin, which is translated in the King James Version into bottle, which gives us images of the glass wine bottles. But these were rather whole goat skins, with nubbins bulging out where the legs once were, the neck tied off where the wine had been poured in, and the whole large skin bulging almost to bursting as the carbon dioxide gas generated by the fermentation process stretches it to its limit. I'm just so glad we have bottles now. I don't know about carrying around goat skins. But I'm happy about that. But as we read in this passage, so there's certain things that don't work together. As they say, water and oil don't mix. They're saying old and new don't go together. And one thing is that Trish and I got when we had Christmas dinner, we received a bottle of a 2009. I'm not going to try it, but a 2009 vintage red wine from France. And we're like, wow, that's a lovely bottle, we didn't know what to think of it because our mother-in-law said, you know, that's a pretty expensive wine. And so we're like, really? So I went, of course, on Google. And I Googled the name of the wine, and it was actually a $75 bottle of the wine. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so Trish and I are having a discussion, and we're saying, so what do we do? Do we drink this? Like, really? Do we? And or we just take it back to LCBO and get money for it. Hey, it's our time, right? But it just made me think about how in the natural new wine or old wine, the older the better. But how many know spiritually the older? It's not so good. New wine is always great. New wine is always fresh. New wine is always ready to be.
Yeah.
It's always ready to be drunk, whatever. Soon. Consumed? I write my English literature majors with this. So the new wine is going to go through a process and fermentation inside the container. And see, the wine skin has the elasticity and the ability to change and to grow with the wine as it goes through changes.
Very good, Kevin. Yep.
So the reason the new wine cannot go into old wineskins is because the skin was inflexible. It was stale almost. And the wine would have no mobility. And so with no more room to be voluminous, it would then break the skin because the skin had lost its elasticity. New wine needs new wineskins. Touch your neighbor and say, how's your wineskin? You see, as I said before, it's a new season. It's not just because it's a new season and it's a new year that essentially everything, God announced it's a new season, now we don't have to do anything about it. Right? But how many people know that a new season and a new year is not about midnight?
That's right. Yep.
Right? The magic is not in midnight. How many people know that today could be your new year?
Yes.
How many people know that today could be your new season?
Yes. Yes.
It's not about December 31st at midnight. But a new season demands what? A new mindset. And today determines what your future is going to be. Today could be the beginning of the greatest time of your life, but it begins with what? A thought. It begins with your mindset. And for some of us in this season, we need to have a new mindset. And so there's three areas that I want to touch on that I believe is vital to in this season. Is vital in this season. And one is our mind, two is our heart/attitudes, and then three, our speech. So the thing with the new wine and the new wineskin is that we have to be open to everything and anything that God wants to do. That God wants to do. And we have to put away our agendas, we have to put away our will, we have to put everything aside so that we do make that room for Him. We do make that room for Him. Remember when Jesus steps on the scene after He goes through the wilderness and He's going to start this ministry with these 12 disciples. And if you notice that in Matthew, it takes three chapters. It takes three chapters for Jesus to say, okay guys, remember that this was said to you back then. But guess what? This is what I'm telling you now. Remember back then you heard about murdering? Right? And how you'd be under judgment? Well, now I tell you that even if you hate your brother, or you don't love your brother, you come under judgment. And He goes through three chapters of basically going through each and every, from murder to divorce, to loving your neighbor as yourself, and He basically, almost like these guys have to do a paradigm shift of who in the world does this guy think? But what He was trying to do was for every traditional and religious mindset, He was trying to open up their mind to something new. Saying, hey, yeah, you did it that way, but listen, it's a new thing we're doing. It's a new thing we're doing here. And what He wanted was a new wineskin to receive the new wine that was coming from heaven. And He asked that same question this morning, is will you accept a new wine? Are you willing to change your wineskin for the new wine to be poured? Are you willing? I mean, in Luke 4:18-19, it says this about, you know, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for He's anointed me to preach the good news. And basically, Jesus just goes through this radical, I don't know if Jesus can be radical, but He basically just says, listen, you know, I've come to set the prisoners free. I've come to heal the sick, the brokenhearted. But guess what? Not just, He said, yeah, I've come to do that, but now guess what? We also have that same anointing.
because he lives in us.
But the thing is, we have to change our mindset. We have to change the way we think about ourselves. We have to change the way that we see each other. We just have to get this new mindset in our heads. See, Philippians 2:5 says this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. The most challenging thing that's going to happen for some of us this year is that in 20, we're going to try and bring everything we learned in 2011 into this new season. And the thing is that we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't bring 2011 into 2012. For some of us, we just have to leave that alone. We can't bring that with us. It's almost like the children of Egypt. They couldn't bring Egypt with them. Because God was going to bring them into a promised land. And God said, no, you can't bring anything with you. Because where I'm about to take you, across the Red Sea and into the promised land, you can't have any of Egypt with you. Because a new season, a new mindset deserves a new wineskin. Are you hearing me this morning?
Yes.
We need a new wineskin. We have to put off the old. We have to put away the old. It's the same way how when we came to salvation, it says, behold, we are a new creation. The old man has gone. Behold, all things have become new. It's the exact same thing. We have to put off that old self. The way we used to do things, the way we used to think, the way we used to walk, the way we used to talk. It's a new season. It's a new season. In Romans chapter 12, we'll read that. When you reach there, say uh-huh. Alright, good. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your
mind.
By the renewing of what?
Mind.
So that means that this season, the way we're transformed is by what? The renewing of your mind. We have to be transformed. We have to be transformed. And my heart is that I be transformed. I don't want to have the stinking thinking of yesterday's man. But I want a new way of thinking. I want a new way of speaking. I want a new way of walking. I want a new understanding of my Father's heart. I want every traditional and religious mindset that maybe has been in me since I was born to be broken. I want it to break. I don't want to go on doing things just for the sake of doing things. I mean, who really wants to? And you see, the new season, what it demands is that you get out of your comfort zone. What it demands is that I can't be boxed in anymore. And sometimes when you praise and worship, you're just going to have to, I just feel like running and go for it. Maybe I just even feel like lifting up my hands. Oh my goodness. And maybe I just feel like dancing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable because it's supposed to be uncomfortable. When Jesus came into the scene, He made everything uncomfortable for everyone. So why do you think that we have it any different? It's like, hey, yeah, Jesus is on the scene. Yeah, I'm going to keep living my life. And no. A radical Jesus deserves radical people.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fact that we're amening, but we have to apply this. Amen. Because if we don't get it, guess what? We always make fun of the children of Israel. How come they went over the same mountain and the same mountain and the same mountain and the same mountain for all those years? Couldn't they just get their act together?
Get it.
How many of us have gone around the same mountain, the same mountain, the same mountain? Why? Because of this. We have to step out and say, you know what? Today I choose to have a new mindset. I choose to see things differently. I choose to be open to everything that God has for me. I choose to bust out of every box and barrier that I'm boxed into right now. We have to determine that in our hearts. We have to. It's all in our thinking. It's all in our thinking. Everything that happens, happens with one thought. Every dream. Bill Gates had one thought. Steve Jobs had one thought. Whoever planted this church back in the 1900s, early 1900s, had one thought. Everything. Your dream starts with one thought. And so today, it starts with one thought. And will you choose? Will we choose to walk in the fullness of God in this season? Because really, it's up to us. We can't blame the elders. We can't blame the deacons. You can't blame your family. You can't blame your kids. You can't blame your wife. You can't blame your husband. It's up to us. We determine. We determine. Let's have a new mindset. Let our minds have the elasticity and the flexibility for all that God has for us in this new season. Why do you think the devil is after your mind? Why? You ever think about that? Man, I can't control these thoughts. Why can't he just leave me alone? Why do you think he can't leave you alone? Because your mind is a weapon. Everything starts with here, then goes into here, and then ends up in your speech. But if he can just plant a seed in your mind. For some of us, we had rough times growing up. Some stuff was said to us. Some stuff were done to us. It's just stuff. But I'm telling you today that in this new season, if you want to lay aside that stuff.
Yeah.
How many do you want to just lay aside that stuff? So that you can actually walk into the fullness of God this evening? Then guess what? All we have to do is kick that stuff to the curb. Just kick it to the curb. We hold on to that stuff. We hold on to those mindsets. We hold on to those things in our hearts. We choose not to let those things go. We choose not to let those things go. But God says, choose this day. Choose this day. Choose the thing. Choose the mindset you want to have. Choose the way you want your heart to be. Do you want your heart to be full of junk and filled with like ugly emotions and just ugly? Do you want your speech to be right, be encouraging, uplifting? Then we choose. We choose all that stuff. Because my old mentality will nullify the new opportunity. I'll say that again. My old mentality will nullify the new opportunity. Because the Bible says that the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking? Some of us just need to talk to ourselves and say, man, what are you thinking? What is wrong with you? Where did you get that mindset? Our hearts. And I didn't even really notice, but I was just reviewing the prophetic words that Mike Hanchin gave us. And after I made this point, I was like, wow. But one of the prophetic words he said is that we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. So I second that today. Let's guard our hearts in this season. Because I'm telling you this, that in this new season, with the changes and challenges that come, we will have to guard our hearts. Because the devil will try and try and plant that seed and be like, why didn't they even want to do things like that? And why isn't they behaving like that? And what is wrong with these people? And all he does is just plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds. And then what we do is we grab onto them and say, yeah, why? Why didn't you do things that way? Why not they can't do these things? Or, I was really stuck in my nice little bubble. I'd like, what was it? Why? But what we have to do is guard our hearts in the season. I'm telling you, church, we have to. I'm tired of the unforgiveness. I'm tired of the strife. I'm tired of the gossiping. I'm tired of every single thing. We have to guard our hearts. We have to. And we have to stop protecting our hearts. We have to be open. We have to trust one another. Not only that, we have to trust God. That He has our well, that He has every good and perfect thing comes from Him. I mean, the Bible even says that if He asks us if we ask Him for bread, will He toss us a stone? Like, come on. Let's get rid of that. I call it stinking thinking. So Proverbs 4:23 actually tells us that, if you need a scripture. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything we do flows from our heart. I want us to be quick to bless people, be quick to forgive, and don't allow anything to enter our hearts that is not a part of God. I know this is kind of uneasy, it's challenging, but I'm telling you, church, if we really grab a hold, and trust me, it's not my word, but I really feel that it is the heart of God for our church in this season. We just have to grab a hold of it. We just have to. And lastly, our speech. I mean, what else can we say about our speech? James 3 talks all about it. talks about the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. The tongue has the power. Proverbs 18:21 says this: the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I want to give you four fruitful ways that we can use our tongue. One, confessing the Word of God is fruitful. Praise is fruitful. Encouraging is fruitful. Last but not least, praying is fruitful. And I know this is stuff that most of us probably know. However, some things are taught, some things are caught. And I really want us to catch this. I really want us to catch this today. See, life and death is in the power of the tongue. How can we bless with somebody? How can we bless our brother and then curse our brother? How can we uplift our brother and then tear down our brother? It doesn't make sense. The two do not mix. When we pray, let's pray fervently. When we encourage each other, encourage one another. Encourage one another. We need each other. Encourage one another. When it comes to praise, I know I mentioned it a few times when I'm up here leading worship, but I always just feel it strongly that for some of us that we're in our situation, in our circumstances, and we're boxed into whatever, and we feel glassed in, and all we have to do is lift up a shout.
Yeah.
All we have to do is do a song and do a little dance. Do a little dance. But I'm telling you, how many people have been stuck or don't feel like laughing, don't feel like smiling, and if all of a sudden a song comes down, you're like, oh man, I love this song. And then you're laughing. And
yep.
That's what we do outside of these walls.
Right.
A song comes on YouTube and we're like, oh, I remember that song. Oh, yeah, you know. But when we come in here, it's like, I don't know, I'm just going to stand here and I'm going to put my hands and then I'm going to sit up for a little bit and Denver was talking to me last week and I really like to be that mistake. But the thing is that we get stuck. We get stuck, and all we have to do is lift up our voice, lift up a shout of praise. My goodness, if you don't know what to say, just say Jesus.
Yeah.
If you're lost for words, just say Jesus and see what happens.
Make a joyful noise.
That's all you have to say. Just say Jesus. And just see. Just see what barriers are broken up. Just see what stuff comes off.
Yeah.
Just lift it up in His name. Because what we do there is we're just so good at looking at ourselves all the time, being sorry for ourselves, and woe is me. And all it is Jesus saying, okay, like put all that stuff aside and just focus on me. Why don't you just lift your eyes to me and take your eyes off of you? And when we come here together, that's what it's about. It's about focusing on the King and His kingdom.
Yeah.
When we pray, it's about focusing on the King and His kingdom. Each and every day in our job, it's about the King and His kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our focus is always supposed to be about. When Jesus was on the earth, He said, I'm here doing my Father's business. He never said anything about Him. Until one day He was in the garden and He really just, Father, I don't know if I can do this anymore. But right away He said, well, it's not my will. So you are allowed to have a little pity moment too. But Don't stay there. Our tongue is a weapon. And Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Mm-hmm. And every, but we always stop there. You ever notice that? We always stop there. No weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. Yes, thank you, Jesus. But what does it say after that? It says that every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. Mm-hmm. Who condemns it, though? We have the power to condemn it. Every tongue that rises against us. No, I condemn those words. Every person that tries to talk bad about me, I condemn those words. Mm-hmm. We have the power. I'm just on it right now. And I can go on and on about speech in your mind, and I mean, it can take weeks just examining it. But really, what I really want to get to is this. Is that when a new wine is poured into the new wineskin, there's enough elasticity and flexibility that as the wine is being poured into the new wineskin, what happens to the wineskin?
Expands
and stretches. And in this new season, I believe with all my heart that there's going to be some stretching going on.
Yep.
There's going to be some stretching going on because as God starts to pour that wine, we're going to start to stretch, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to make us feel uneasy. But guess what? He's doing the stretching. Mm-hmm. As long as we make ourselves open, He's doing the stretching. Because you never know how much a wineskin can hold until you start pouring the wine. And for some of us in last season, in the season we were at before, because we had an old wineskin, we weren't able to contain a new wine. But in this season, there'll be no more leaking wineskins. There'll be no more leaking wineskins. There'll be no more cracked wineskins. For all of our wineskins will be able to expand and stretch when the wine is being poured. How many people want to be stretched? Mm-hmm. Tap your neighbor and say, stretch. Say, it's time for you to stretch. It's time for us to stretch together. No more comfort zones. No more being boxed in. And as I said, it's not going to be easy. Proverbs 10:5 says this, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, and he who seeds in harvest is a son who causes shame. What does that mean? I thought the Lord say this to me. Discern the season that we are in. Mm-hmm. It is a new season. Like, really catch it. It's a new season. Because Zechariah 10 once says this. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. In other words, when it's raining, ask for rain. When it's a new season, then this is the time you ask for those new things. New opportunities. New contracts. New acquisitions.
Yeah.
New relationships. This is the time we ask for those new things. Say, God, I want those new things. How many people want new jobs? How many people want new contracts?
Yeah.
New acquisitions. New favor. New dreams.
Yes.
New goals. The third season that we're in then. Because this is the season. As we take care of this wine skin, as we partner with the wine giver, as we partner with him, then this is the area that will just start to see the blessings of God flow. And guess what? They're not just for you.
Right on.
They're not just for you. But it's where it still goes back to the King and His kingdom. It still goes back to that. And I don't even know if I made sense this morning. But you have to understand that in my heart, I just feel like really just busting out because there's so much about this season. There's so much about it. It's like, taste and see that the Lord is good in this season. It's almost like it's a season that you don't have to ask. You don't have to just ask Him for stuff. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's not going to take work. It's not going to take work. It's not like the like we still have to plow. Now we just read. As we line ourselves up with His will, as we line ourselves up. And really, I think the musicians are going to come back a little bit ahead and worship. But I just really had a sense, a strong sense this morning that we just needed to deal with wineskins. Our mindsets, our speech, stuff that's in our hearts. I just really felt that the Lord was to start to break open, break those old wineskins and really this new wineskin so we can contain the new wine. Because He wants to pour that out. He wants to pour that out. And so if that is you, and in your heart, it's like, Lord, I want a new wineskin. I'm not satisfied with this wineskin that I'm at right now. This wineskin that I'm living in. And even as we worship, as we worship, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And if you really need to cry out, then cry out for new wineskins. I'm just pleading with you this morning because I believe it is the key to this season. We have to get ourselves together. We have to determine in our heart that today is the new day. And today will be the day that will determine the rest of our life. So as we worship,